Way too many first responders are struggling with their fitness, health, and body goals, but you're not alone in that fight. I'm Ted with Fit Responder, and with 11 years experience in law enforcement, as well as being a fitness coach for over 15 years myself, I've created some free resources as well as one-to-one professional fitness coaching for first responders. So I want you to check us out, fitresponder.com, or look us up on Instagram at fit.responder. That's fit period responder. And let's see you there. Chat soon. Thanks and enjoy the podcast.
The Poorly Made Police podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This podcast has explicit content and is meant for a mature audience. The views expressed on this Poorly Made podcast reflect the opinions of the guest and host. They do not reflect the opinion of any department or entity. Nothing on this Poorly Made podcast should be construed as legal or marital advice. If something offends you, I kindly invite you to lighten the fuck up. If you want to support this very poorly made podcast, click the link at the end of the description and become a monthly sponsor of the podcast. Or buy yourself some nice Poorly Made Police Memes merch. Not only does it look good on you, it's also a favorite of wives, exes, children, nurses, nuns, IA investigators, defense attorneys, and the chief. And of course, take care of the fine sponsors of this podcast. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the orgasmic sound of a Crown Vic. Oh, hey there. Shut the fuck up. Oh, hey there. Sorry. Welcome to another edition of the Very Poorly Made Police Podcast. You heard him. He's already fucking up. I've got fucking Steve here. How are you, fucking Steve?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm just living a dream. You got a few drinky poos in you, don't you?
Just a couple, you know.
What are you drinking tonight?
It's kind of a little bit of everything, but I went with some Gentleman Jack, and then I killed that bottle before starting, so it's just kind of Jack.
That's okay, man. Gentleman Jack's some pretty good shit. Jack obviously is Jack. I'm kind of being a little bitch. I'm not drinking tonight. Maybe I'll do a shot of Jambo later. I'm doing one of those little fucking vitamin squirty things in my water. So there's that. Thank me for my service.
Yeah, I'm sure that will get you pretty fucked up.
It'll get me fucked up. Well, here's the thing.
You fucked up on the other end.
I should just say that I'm drinking. Because then I feel like there's like a little bit of leeway if I say something fucked up. They're like, it's the liquor talking.
Yeah, nobody's going to know.
No one's going to know. I mean, everybody, I'm fucking smashed.
There you go.
That was a terrible impression of Drunk Lenny. Okay, unrelated to anything we're going to talk about, because we got some shit to talk about tonight for sure. Me and fucking Steve here. I'm kind of into the... what is it? The Mio vitamin water? Like, I'm kind of hooked on that shit. And I know some people say it gives them like fucking headaches and shit, but like, I hate fucking water. And this is kind of what it takes to drink water.
Have you done the Mio with caffeine though, to get off of like any energy drinks or like if you're trying to cut back on coffee?
I felt like those ones gave me headaches.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty shitty tasting, but like some of my coworkers and I have used like the Mio water stuff to try to get you to drink more water because you want something sweet. So you're like, but you want to be healthy and drink water because, you know, water's good for you, apparently.
Allegedly.
So you just squirt a little, you know, in your water and you're just like, cool, well, I got some flavor.
Somebody squirted in your water?
Yeah. I mean, you got to squirt somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway. You know, squirt's mostly pee. I don't know if you knew that or not, but whatever, man. When in Rome.
It's when in Rome.
And a judge. All right. So here's what we got going on. Fucking Steve is a copper, but he also, in the course of his duties, also is a coroner, which is... I fucking mispronounced it, didn't I?
I don't know.
I felt like I said it weird.
I zoned out, I'll be honest.
This is a fucking compelling start to the podcast. 3 minutes in, zone fucking out. I mispronounced things wrong. But so fucking Steve does that. And we kind of got talking a little bit before we started recording. It sounds like his agency is sort of unique, and the way people do duty stations. And God damn it, I can't talk. Duty station. See, I can't talk. It's fucking.
See, and I should be the fucked up one, and you're the sober one.
Every day I question why I started a podcast, because I'm not a good public speaker, and we're like, what, 3 years? The tism. Anyway, so much tism. Here's what we need to know, Steve. Not just Steve. Fucking Steve.
Fucking Steve.
By the way, we're gonna talk about Megan Hall too, so this will be fun.
Yes.
Fucking Steve, how did you get into law enforcement?
So, I mean, mine's kind of cliche in the sense. I actually work for the department in the city, or it's not a city, the town I grew up in. So I grew up in there. And then as I got older, I was like, you know, I want to give back to this nice community that I live in that the sheriff's office covers. So once I got older, worked some various jobs. And then I finally was like, fuck it, I'm going to apply. And didn't get in the first time. I was being a dumb little
That's what she prick. Said.
Well, I was being a little stupid fuck, and then fucking off. And it doesn't help to go to, you know, your lie detector test, freaking hungover. But, you know, we was it digress or whatever the word is? But, yeah, so I applied, and then I got hired. And it's nice because I get to give back to the community I grew up in. And that was kind of like the whole idea of like, you know, I want to help people, but then I also want to give back to this place that I grew up in a great place, which is slowly turned to shit just with today's day and age of things.
All right. I had to mute myself because I was like fucking choking to death, but I'm alive. I did it That's for good.
You. I'm CPR certified. I can save your life if I was there.
Oh my God. It's too much of that vitamin water. It's choking it down. It squirted on me.
Oh, you squirted too much.
I squirted too much. Anyway, I want to key in on something you said, though, that I liked in this idea of when the first time I applied, I was being a fuckhead. And that's why I didn't pass. I feel like there's a lot of people, and you could equate this to like special assignments too, but I have my own thoughts on that, and that's probably my own bias, to be honest. But a lot of people don't get hired somewhere. And I need a lot of people, like, you know, when everybody's trying to be a cop back in the day, like, oh, they didn't fucking hire me because of this bullshit. Like, they're hiring all these other people and not me. And there's never any, you know, reflection and like looking inward and being like,
accountability.
Yeah. Weird. And I like that you said that. And honestly, I think sometimes it's good to be humbled, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, so touching on that, so I'm trying to think of the best way to describe without kind of like doxing myself too much. When I first applied, I was 20. And so like I was already like this cocky little piece of shit. So showing up and you're like, I'm not even legal age, drinking age, and I'm showing up hungover to my, you know, my shit. And I'm like, oh yeah, I drank last night. And they're like, what? You're kind of just like, oh wait, I sound like a douchebag right now. And then looking back at it, like I had multiple, and it was the agency themselves, like who I was dealing with, like being like, hey, I don't think you're ready. No shame to pull yourself out. Like, we're not going to hold it against you, you know, but I don't think you're ready. But then I was being this little cocky shit, and I was like, no, like, fuck you. Like, I'm going to keep going. And then looking back at it, I'm so glad I didn't get hired, because I just wasn't ready for it. I wasn't mature enough for it. I wasn't ready for it. You know, it would have been cool because I would have been further into my career. But at the same time, like, it just was not for me at that time. You know, I had to grow up, essentially.
And yeah. I hate being this guy to like equate everything to like everything. But yeah. What I really fear like right now in this environment is like that dude that's showing up hungover to his fucking polygraph is now maybe like, well, he's a little raw, but we'll push him through, you know, which is not
Oh,
good. Like,
dude.
because then you give that guy confidence, thinking like he can get away with that type of shit
Dude,
and work.
man, I would say like seeing the new like hires for us, and like we're in a constant hiring right now. We are with fuck, it's hard to give like good numbers because of our agency size and everything. It could just sell myself out, but we're in a constant hiring right now, but we're bleeding as much as we're hiring. If not, we're bleeding more. So we're losing more bodies than we're bringing in. And these new guys are coming in and they're giving. So, like, when I started, it's kind of, I'm going to be, I might be all over the place, but you didn't go to patrol right away. Like, you had to earn your spot and you had to do a couple years before you get the shot to go to patrol. You're still fully sworn, but you didn't get to go to patrol right away. Like, it was an earned right. You had to do extra assignments to get there. And with the new boots now, these kids are coming in, and some of them are just getting thrown out because of who mommy and daddy are, and you know, whose dick you suck, pardon my language.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Quite literally. But you know, like they're getting sent out like within their first year, versus I also know people where they had to wait 10 years before they go out. Like it just, that's how hard it was to leave and transfer to other places. I forgot where we were going with this,
Well,
but
I was gonna say it was often joked about in my agency that if patrol was a special assignment, then everybody'd want to work patrol, right? But you know, since that's where everybody started, I mean, a lot of people want to be patrol cops, but I always found it kind of amazing. A little side rant here.
Yeah, go for
I always found it very amazing how many people didn't want to be a beat cop, and they came, you know, they became a cop to go do something else. And I
it.
get some people, there are people that are totally meant to be detectives, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, the other side agent or not side agencies, but the, you know, the special assignments, the all those things, I'm not saying those aren't important, but I always found it odd how many people were trying to get off the road. And I was like, fuck, man, I was just happy to be here.
No, totally. And I think that's where, like, our, so at least from what I've seen, so our agency offers a lot of opportunities, and not all of them are patrol oriented. So, like in my case, I work for the Coroner's Bureau, so I'm not patrol trained, and I haven't worked patrol, so I can't comment on patrol, but. You don't have to be patrol trained to go where I'm at. And we have a multiple opportunities with our agency to where you can work there and you could be like, I want to be a patrol officer, shit the bed, and then be like, you know what? You're never going to be a patrol officer, but you can go work something else. You know, fuck. I mean, worst case scenario, you can go work at the jail and be an adult babysitter.
Yeah, that your agency is super unique. Now, without doxing yourself,
Yeah.
if you can answer this question, what assignments have you worked?
So, I mean, I don't know if I'll dox myself or not, but I've worked the jail, and I've worked multiple things within our jail because there's, I don't know how you want to describe it, but there's multiple assignments within our jail. So you can work a unit, you could work, you know, intake where you're bringing people in, where you're dealing with people coming in and releasing the people back into the wild, and you'll see them in 24 hours or 7 days, you know. So you got that. I mean, I don't know, but you know, like I've worked the courts, and then I've worked where I'm at now, which is the Coroner's Bureau.
So I gotta say, the courts, I would find interesting because I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to like the legal stuff. I feel like, and depending on like what your role is, you know, unless you're just
Oh,
shuffling
yeah.
people around, you don't get to actually see the proceedings. But if you're actually like a bailiff and you're kind of checking out what's going on, it could be super interesting.
Well, so the kind of the cool part about the courts, depends on how you look at it. So, because I've done it all within the court. We've got security to where you make sure nobody brings in a fucking loaded gun, which apparently has happened. It didn't happen to me, but you get some of these tweakers that come in with freaking knives, guns, stupid stuff, because they're tweakers. And they got a court, you know, because they're gonna be like, oh, I'm here. Like, I didn't violate my probation. Because everybody's on probation. So you got those guys, you got the bailiffs. So I've done that where I've been in the courtroom and I've got to sit there through, you know, some murder trial. And it's cool because you get to see them present all the evidence, you get to see them do the jury selection process. It's really kind of like eye opener in seeing how they handle things. And then I've also done the thing where you're like moving inmates, you know, they get dropped off by the bus. You take them to their cell, you take them to the courtroom, and you bring them back, essentially. So those are kind of the main functions that we do at the courts.
So
Some suck, some are chill. I gotta say, it's by far the chillest job I've ever had to get paid a shitload of money.
I would say for like the young coppers out there, and I know this is probably goes without saying, but court is kind of a pain in the dick, but
Oh,
if you ever have
100%.
a chance to sit advisory, do it. Because it is such an eye-opening experience to see that whole process. And honestly, the more you know about the back end of your job, that's what she said. The more you know about that, the better of a cop you are on the street. Now, you got to be careful though, because sometimes, like, this is the shit I would do when I was new, is I would try and do my job in. I don't know the best way to articulate it, but like trying to do what like the DA would want or you know, like trying to like decide how a jury would look at things
You're
instead of
trying
the
to check
that's,
those boxes.
but it's not part of that's not your job. Like your job is
No,
to find
not at all.
probable cause. Your job is not to find, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. However, you know, you can look at things too and be like, all right, that's a little silly, and maybe use your discretion a little bit better, but there's a balance to it for sure.
Well, you know, it's one of those things to where it's like, right, you got to make sure you, when you write your report, right, you have that PC, right? And you try to do everything you can so that there's no little outs for the public defender. But at the end of the day, like you watch the public defenders in court, at least from my perspective, like you're coming out as a third party. You're just there to make sure people aren't sleeping and people ain't freaking jerking off, essentially.
I thought this was America.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think you're still, I don't think they've legalized jerking off in public yet.
Okay.
I mean, except for San Francisco, I'm pretty sure it's legal in San Francisco or like Seattle, places like
Everything's
that.
legal there. Yeah.
I think there you can pretty much do anything you want other than kill somebody and you're good.
Oh, you might still be able to kill somebody.
I mean, yeah, you could probably justify it, I'm sure, you know, like,
It's
oh,
fine.
like, you know, they tried to touch my dick while I was jerking off and so I killed him. You know, weird stuff. But no, but like it's kind of interesting watching because the whole thing with from what I've seen with the public defenders is their whole goal is to find something to distract the jury, right? Like they want to make it to where it's like you could have totally done everything right, but their whole goal was to discredit you because of like some stupid little thing, or they're gonna like hang their hat on like a little part of your report, and that's what they're going to keep pushing because that's what they want them to remember. You also got to realize like the juries are fucking stupid, and I'm sorry for if I insult anybody, but like the everyday citizen, like I watched a guy during jury selection who is high as fuck on weed falling asleep, and I had to wake him up like 3 times, and that's your jury. Like that's the person you're interacting with is some fucking little kid who's in college who's high as fuck.
Remember, the people on the jury are the people not smart enough to get out of jury duty.
Exactly. And it was funny because I've watched people try to get out of jury duty and it's fucking hilarious. Like,
So,
I don't know if you want me to go on that, but
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, if you got a good
no,
story.
like, so it was the freaking kid who's high as fuck, and he's like, oh, I got class. Like, and they're like, okay, well, it's during the summer. Like, there's no summer class. Like, are you taking a summer class? And he's like, no. And dude's, again, he's high and he's trying to get out of jury duty. And they're like, so why shouldn't you be a juror? And he's like, oh, well, I don't think he's guilty. And they're like, why? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be here. And the people are sitting there, and the stuff that people try to come up with, they're like, you're just sitting there and you're like, this isn't, it doesn't make sense. You know, they try to say, like, you know, they're busy and, or, you know, they have work, but everybody's got work. Everybody's got something going on. And they're like, well, give us like a valid reason why you can't be in jury duty. All you have to do is just say, make up some stupid shit like, oh, he's guilty because cops arrested him. And they're going to dismiss you. They're going to assume like you're biased right from the get-go.
Wear
But
your
people sit,
ACAB shirt to court.
oh, yeah, you wear an ACAB shirt and the DA or the public defender may want you, but the DA is going to sit there and be like, nah, we're good.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to the podcast. Attention, all law enforcement officers. Looking for a badge as flexible and resilient as you are? Discover Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Our Flex Shields are not just generic badges, they're custom-made, flexible, metallic emblems designed to replicate your actual badge. Perfect for outer carriers, they come with a durable Velcro backing, making them easy to attach and keep them secure. Looking for a distinguished wallet badge? Flex Shield fits the bill. Why choose Flex Shield? We offer unmatched quality at nearly half the price of our competitors, and we never charge for mold or setup fees. Plus, we're the only ones offering true dual plating, a testament to our commitment to excellence. Proudly law enforcement owned and operated, we understand what it means to wear a badge. Start your custom order today at ghostpatchcustom.com. Flex Shield, the badge of the future. All right, so let's talk about your current gig, which
Okay.
is the coroner.
Okay.
I think I said it right. I don't know. I just automatically assume I'm saying words wrong.
No,
So
like
how,
corner,
tell
it's
it.
like corner, but not
I don't. It just
corner. You,
feels.
there's
It
an extra
feels wrong.
O.
It feels wrong in my mouth.
You know, there's a lot of things that feel wrong in your mouth.
Yeah,
There could
that's what
be
my
worse
uncle
things
said
in your
too.
mouth. You know, he's just trying to play hide the sausage.
Yes. Anyway, my uncle listens to this sometimes, and that was a joke. Anyway, awkward. Okay. Anyway, so let's talk about that gig. Tell, and I don't know if where in the country does this. I know a few places in the country do this type of stuff, but explain your role right now.
So essentially, so it depends on obviously where you based on your county. I would, at least where I'm at, it's based on your county because there's certain counties where they're completely separated from the sheriff's office or from law enforcement. They are strictly on like the medical side of things in a sense. They show up and they're only there to do essentially what we do, which we will get into obviously, but in my role, like I'm fully sworn, I'm a fully sworn peace officer, and I work for a sheriff's office. And we filter through every death call that's reported to us. So somebody dies, for the most part, they're reported to us. There are certain circumstances that they aren't. And then if they're considered a coroner's case, so anything that's not natural, you know, hey, this person fell down some stairs or they were murdered. We have to investigate it. And we have, like, our doctors have to provide the cause of death and we have to create the death certificate. So, in our case, like, we're sitting there and we're on day shift. So, like, we're dealing with funeral homes, we're dealing with families, we're dealing with doctors, like, everything you can think of that may come up, we have to deal with it, right? Whether it's the media, you know, other agencies, like you're interacting with them on a daily basis. And we basically have to do a full investigation, which is looking into the cause and manner of death.
So, are you medically trained, or is your gig like a different part of that?
So not necessarily medically trained in the sense. It's really weird because, like, for us, like, you have to go from a criminal mat like mindset of like I need PC, you know, like the criteria for like homicide or vehicular, you know, manslaughter, stuff like that. You have to take that and change your mindset because you're looking at it from a medical perspective. We do go to training, which is really cool because they put us through the training. So like you go to like a basic death investigation class, but it's geared towards like the medical side of things. It's really weird because you have to go from thinking criminal to thinking medical while you're still sworn. So you're in that cop mindset and you have to kind of pull yourself out of it and you have to think, okay, so medically speaking, like what caused this or what, like where does it fall? And it's same thing goes into the mannering of death because we have like four, we have, sorry, I gotta think for a second and I'm not good at that. You've got homicide, accidental, suicide, natural, and then undetermined. So those are the five like manners of death that you can have.
So if there's like a death call, is that something you guys respond out to, or do you guys get them after patrols handle their part?
So the way it goes is essentially we're our own dispatch, I guess the way to put it. So somebody, let's say you have a patrol officer, they call in a death, unintended death, you know, you show up to a dead body, right? Which I think most cops, at least if you haven't experienced it, I don't know how, but people die all the time, right? So they'll show up, they'll do their initial investigation, and depending on the agency, sometimes it's like a good investigation. Depending on other agencies, it's totally half-assed and you gotta like pull teeth to get info. So they give us the info, and based off of the information they give us, determines if we're gonna go there or not. Because we can't go to every death call. Like, at least for us in our area, I mean, we're dealing with anywhere from like 10 people dying that's reported to us to 20 to 30. And we can't go to every call. Like, we work 12-hour shifts. Like, there's no time in our 12-hour shift to go 30 scenes throughout our whole area, which is huge.
Okay. So in your unit, are you like considered a detective, or are there detectives in your unit too? Or like, does the county have like medical examiners on staff? Like, how's that all work?
So I guess it depends on your perspective, I'd say. I've had people where they consider us like detectives or like investigators. Essentially, it's more of like an investigative role, versus, yeah, I would say it's more of an investigative role. I don't know if you'd clump that in with like detectives. We don't have specific detectives that work alongside of us outside of like it'd be the own like the agency that you're interacting with. In the sense of like they'd have their own detectives if it's like a homicide, like their detectives are going to be the ones you're interacting with who are going to provide you the info. And then we're our own little entity. So we don't have like there's only four of us on our shift. So it's just us working with each other. I don't know if that explains it or
Well,
not.
I think I could be like overlooking it because I'm trying, or
It's weird.
not, well, not overlooking is probably the wrong word for it, but like I think I'm overthinking it is I think I'm overthinking, you know, I think sheriff, I think coroner, and I'm getting confused where realistically you're a fucking coroner's office. Like that's what you do. Like you're not really worried about so much the criminal, whatever criminal he's being investigated. Like if it's a homicide, the homicide detectives are doing their thing. You're doing a separate thing, you know, figuring out manner of death and shit like that, right?
And so and that's where it's a weird concept to kind of wrap your head around. And even trying to explain it's kind of weird, but essentially, yeah, like we don't look into the criminal side of anything. We are strictly the medical side of the death. So like just as an example, somebody dies, and let's say you got some 90-year-old person who dies. You know, they're found in bed by their family member. We want to know like their medical history, like what medications they're taking, who their doctor is. Because like your regular doctor you see every day, or not necessarily every day, but your doctor is the one who would sign your death certificate when you die in bed, you've got heart failure, you've got diabetes, you got all those medical problems going on. That your primary doctor is the one who actually signs your death certificate and provides the cause of death. Now, when we get involved is when you don't have a doctor. You obviously, like if you got into some kind of accident, and that can be anywhere from you slip and fall in your shower and hit your head and die, all the way to, somebody shoots you on the street because, some stupid drug bust or some stupid ass shit. That's when we start getting involved, is when it's anything that's not a natural death and you don't have the history to back it up.
So let's say I had a little bit too much vitamin water, right? And I don't go to the doctor. Actually, I'm going to change that. All right. So here's something I always kind of think about, and I'm sure other people have had this thought because I'm sure it happens, and I'd be curious what your thoughts are. So I feel like all of us listening are kind of like, oh, he's basically the fucking coroner. But I know, like, here's the thing. You can't give not everybody's gonna have an autopsy. There's just not enough time to fucking give everybody an autopsy, right? And I often wonder, like, how many sickly people that could die. Like, there's some people that, like, literally I think could die in like 5 minutes. Or they might make it another 2 or 3 years. It depends on how the wind blows, right? And depending on how the wind blows, they may make it that 3 years. But I always am like, did somebody do something? But there, without doing an autopsy, you don't know. Like I'd be curious how many natural deaths may have nefarious activity attached to them, because you can't investigate them all, especially like an old sick person.
So that, I mean, I guess that's kind of like the crazy part about it is you really don't know. Like, so there's a lot of factors that, like, and it would be way too much to try to get into and try to explain. Like in the long run of things, when it, like the things that we look into, but kind of what you're talking about, right? Like, there's no way to know that, Joe, freaking poisoned his grandma who's 95, who's got kidney failure, heart failure, and all these other medical conditions. Like, there's no way to for us to really differentiate that without, and that's where it comes into the investigative aspect of the responding agency, right? You show up to a dead body, and our kind of expectations, I guess, is expecting the agency to do a thorough investigation to determine that this person wasn't poisoned, right? Or they didn't necessarily overdose. I mean, it kind of like, I mean, it just kind of varies on the factors. And that's the hardest part, is like our job is so, it's all based off of the like the minute details, because it could be like, oh yeah, like they're perfectly healthy, but then, oh, they have a crack pipe there, or they have a meth pipe there, and you're like, okay, well, do they have a history of doing like drugs? And especially with like the how abundant fentanyl is nowadays, it's crazy how many people, they're chronic users, but then they overdose. I mean, it's just kind of what happens. And then next thing you know, you're having to deal with this, and for us, it's considered like, oh, I got to pick this body up, and we're gonna have to autopsy him.
Now, the autopsies, I assume you don't do those. Like, you guys have like a doctor on staff or something.
So, little unknown. Oh, I guess slightly unknown factor, depends on how versed you are in when it comes to the medical examiners or the coroners throughout the nation, is there's actually a shortage on doctors. And because they're specifically trained in doing, forensic pathology, and essentially, like, there's different levels of examinations they can do, and it's based off of the information that we can gather. So, like, you get somebody who supposedly is perfectly healthy, supposedly never uses drugs, but has never been to a doctor and they've got no medical history. They have to do a full autopsy. So they're going to cut that person open. They're going to examine everything and figure out what's going on. Versus you get somebody who gets hit by a train, they're going to do what's called an external. Like, they're just going to, like, look at him, and obviously we all know the train caused the death. Obviously, like, they have hella trauma. And that depends on, like, how many pieces you're picking up of them. Like,
That's
sometimes
the
they're
name of the podcast right now, is Hella Trauma.
Oh,
We'll see if we can do better, but I like
I
that.
might be able to top that one if you want to go into stories.
Yeah.
So but no.
Well, I was gonna say, now go finish that thought. Finish that thought.
I mean, no, so I mean, if you want to go into stories, I've seen anywhere from some, like, your typical everyday overdose, all the way to somebody who's been stabbed to death, shot up, hit by a train, to where they're like jello. Like, you see it all. Like, that's the thing, is like, versus the patrol officer that's going to, like, oh, like, hey, we have a dead body, and it's like no big deal, or it's, you know, that random occurrence in a sense. It depends on where you work, obviously, how often you're exposed to that. Because I think some places are more prone to getting a dead body versus others. Like, some departments, they're reporting a death like once every couple months, versus some departments are reporting us a death multiple times a day.
You know, every call is like roulette, right? Like you just don't know what you're gonna get,
Oh,
you know.
totally.
And I some guys seem to have like the kiss of death, and you know, they're going a lot of death calls. Some people get like the more spicy deaths.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what you're gonna get. Like I was pretty fortunate. Like, you know, I had some hard ones for sure, but I know people have had worse than me, obviously, nastier shit than
Yeah.
I've experienced, and I'm thankful for that. And then I almost feel like if I go back to the job, that's what's gonna happen to me, dude. I'm gonna get the worst fucking death calls, 'cause you know that's how the fucking cookie's gonna crumble. But
Oh, yeah.
your gig, like you don't miss them, like you don't get that roulette, you just get the fucking Gatling gun full of fucking death.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of like a seized box of chocolates, right? That somebody gifted you, where you have no idea what's in that box. And for us, like, depending on how somebody reports it, like, I've had a hospital call in a death, and they're like, and you're dealing, and they give you, like we have a sheet, so we work off the sheet, and you're like, okay, what's their name? What's their date of birth? And you slowly kind of get an idea of what you're dealing with. And just like, going to a story, I guess, would be, I had a hospital call in, and they're like, oh, we had this person. You're like, okay. And they give you a date of birth, and you're like, fuck, this person's pretty young, like 21. And then you're like, okay, well, how'd they die? And they're like, oh, they had cardiac arrest. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you're expecting some crazy medical history for somebody who's 21 to die from a heart attack. And then they're like, oh, well, they hung themselves. And you're like, well, why couldn't we start with you hung, they, like, this person hung themselves? Like, that's like, we have to be involved in that. Versus, you know, because we do get some of these people where they're born with some crazy health conditions and they die naturally, and they're at a young age. And you're like, this feels weird. You know, should we investigate it? And you're like, well, they've got, you know, MS or cancer at a young age. And you're like, okay, like, this is totally natural. But you have to, like, filter through all that info. And sometimes people don't give you the info until the very end. So, like, you'll be sitting there like, there's nothing wrong. And they'll be like, oh, they have a gunshot wound to the head. And you're like, well, could we have started with that? Because, like, that'd be kind of nice to know.
I was going to ask about hospitals specifically. I mean, hospice, I assume, you know, that's kind of is what it is, or expected to
Yeah.
die. But like somebody in a hospital, like, so if somebody's in a hospital and dies of cancer, do they make a report to you?
It depends. So if you have competent, and this is where it's kind of interesting, because you don't realize it till you're in it and you're working, at least in my field, is some of these doctors like don't know what's considered something that doesn't have to be reported. So it could be like a 100-year-old person with cancer and they're terminally ill, and they'll still report the death when it doesn't have to be reported because they don't know. Like, they don't teach these doctors, especially the ones at the hospital, like, hey, you're like, you don't have to report this death. Like, there's nothing weird. There's no drugs. There's no alcohol. There's no trauma. It doesn't have, and they've got extensive medical history. It does not have to be reported to us,
I
but
wonder
they'll
if it's
report
like
it
a
to us because they don't
CYA
know.
thing, a CYA, and to take the liability off them. And if somebody, and I don't know what liability would be associated, I'm just kind of spitballing. But if I
Oh,
wonder if they
100%.
call because they're like, oh, well, if I call them, then they can't say I didn't do this, and so I'm
Yeah.
not going to be held liable for it.
Well, and that's where, at least from my perspective, and I've told doctors this, is like, when in doubt, if you don't know, just report the death. The worst case scenario, we go, oh, you didn't have to tell us. We'll document it, we'll enter it into our system, and we'll do like a very brief, basically like summary. We don't have to write a full report on it. But like, when in doubt, just tell us, like, hey, like, this is what happened, this is what we have. And this is why they died. And you're just like, okay, like, hey, you didn't have to report it. Like, yeah, it's annoying in the sense, because for us, like, we're dealing with like hundreds of calls throughout a day. And we have to filter through all those. So it's like, it's frustrating, but at the same time, I'd rather you report it, because then we also get the doctors that don't say anything and they think it's natural, but then they're like, oh, yeah, they overdosed. Well, a normal doctor can't sign anything that's not natural. So if you overdose and the doctor thinks like they can sign like they overdosed, it's like you can't sign that as a regular doctor. You can't provide that cause of death. That's where we have to be involved. Our doctor has to provide that.
Do you go to a lot of autopsies?
So that's it's kind yes and no. Essentially, for us, I can just take the elevator down and I could watch every autopsy. We don't necessarily always have the time to do it, but we also have every right to basically sit there and like watch them cut this person open. It also depends on your ability to like stomach that, because some people cannot handle watching somebody.
I don't think I'd
Like,
want any part of that. Like, I know my fucking dad loves autopsies. No thanks. No thank you.
oh, like, and it kind of falls back onto like, we've had officers where they won't even go through like a threshold of somebody's like apartment or like house because they're so afraid of like a dead body. I mean, I had one department and they reported a death, and I'm talking to FTO because this guy's on FTO at the time, and his FTO, and like, end up we have to pick this person up. So like, we go out there, we do our thing, we take our photos. We talked to the officer, and the FTO is just sitting there laughing. They're like, yeah, like, no, my trainee went in there and literally ran out of the building because they were afraid of the dead body.
You never know, man. People come back alive.
I've got a couple stories on that.
Well, let's fucking talk about that then.
So I would say the fucking craziest story that I've had of somebody coming back to life. And I will say, like, if a zombie outbreak starts, like, I know patient zero. Which, if my coworkers heard this, they would know it's me speaking. But there's only three of them, so I'm not too worried about it. But so we had a department report this death, and a lot of these deaths, like, medical shows up before the officers, depending on circumstances, and they're like, "Yep, I give my blessing, they're dead." And sometimes they actually check them. Sometimes they really don't do shit. And that's kind of where you can run into some problems. And in this case, we ran into a problem. So I had an officer report a death, and they're like, we got this old lady, and she's got no family. So that's the other thing, is if there's no family, we have to be involved, because there's nobody there to make arrangements. So we have to be involved to try to find family, because that's another aspect of our job. And this guy's like, yeah, she's laying down underneath a desk, medical called her dead. They pronounced her death. So I document everything. No big deal. Well, then, and it's something where like, oh, there's no family, so we're gonna have to pick this lady up. We're gonna have to do our full investigation and all that. And I shit you not, like, and this is on Halloween day, so. And so we already had some weird calls that day. And next thing you know, this officer calls back like 3 hours later and he goes, so I got something weird. I'm like, okay, like how weird can this get? Like, is she shot? Like, did she kill herself? Like, what did you find? And he goes, no, like we're at the hospital. She's still alive. I'm like, what do you mean? So this officer was sitting there for hours, waiting for us to basically come out there, and we're in the middle of shift change, so it's really difficult to get out there when we're during shift change because we're so short staffed. So like there's only four of us per shift, and the other shift I was waiting for two people to get on. It's just me during the shift change, so like I can't leave the office and go do it solo. We always go in pairs. And he's like, no, like I'm sitting there in the scene, I'm in this chick's apartment, and all of a sudden I hear noises. And he looked into it, and next thing you know, like this chick's still alive, which medical pronounced her dead. And then he's like, yeah, we're at the hospital. Like she's on like all the machines and everything. I'm like, what the fuck? Like we're on Halloween. We've already had some weird shit. Like you're telling me you have a zombie. And he's like, yeah, dude, like she's still alive. And we've had that happen a couple times now.
Now, what happened with her, though? Did she end up dying at the hospital?
I don't know. I think she survived.
No
So I think
shit.
she's back at her apartment, living her
Living her
decrepit
best
life.
life. Yeah, her best life.
Like, I mean, and she was like some old, we're talking like 90-year-old lady living in an apartment with no family. So she survived. I mean, and she didn't bite anybody, so we don't have more zombie outbreak shit going on, but definitely was weird.
Okay, so I don't want to leave. Obviously, we got to get to Megan Hall and the dumb questions. I don't want to leave
Can't leave her out.
any. You can't leave her out. I don't want to leave any meat on the bone, so to speak, on your job.
Can clean that bone.
So, is there more stuff that we didn't like get into? Like, I'm not a great interviewer, obviously, really bad at
Oh, it's
my
okay.
fucking job, poorly made. Is there some more stuff that we should know about your job that we didn't get into?
I mean, I guess it kind of just depends on like specifics. Depending on where people work. So for us, we do everything. So we field the calls. Like I said, like I believe I said earlier, like we're our own dispatchers. So we literally take the calls, we filter through them and determine if it's something we have to go to. If it's something we go to, like we document everything. We take photos, we write a full report, which can be anywhere from like a page of like, you have this 90-year-old person that dies and they just don't have family. So it's fairly like it could be like a shorter report versus the person who was like stabbed to death, or like we go out to all of that stuff. Or if somebody's not identifiable, whether a dog ate their face, which we've had, versus the person who's decomposing, which we get all the time. It varies. And basically we have to filter through all that. Then we go out there, we photograph everything, we talk to the officers. We don't necessarily interview people except for family if they're on scene, depending on what like the circumstances are. But essentially, like the officers on scene handle a lot of the investigative portion when it comes to that. And then they relay the info, and then we essentially summarize it into our reports. But then we also pick up the body. So, like, we're the ones manipulating the person, we're the ones putting him in a body bag and putting him in our vehicle and bringing him back, which not a lot of places do that. They actually have like what they call removal services. To where like they'll show up. In my case, like if we had that, we would show up, we'd take photos, we'd do all this stuff. But then we'd call up our removal service if we had one, and they would be the ones that would put them in a body bag, bring them back to the morgue, process them into the system, and then when our doctors are available, they would do an examination.
So we're gonna do one of my dumb questions right now because we're kind of on this topic. Do you have a favorite death call?
Ooh. We've had some weird stuff.
I
I
like
would,
weird.
I mean, because you got to think, like, we see everything from like somebody dying from like a heart attack versus the homicide, right? Like, we get the full extreme of things. I've had some weird stuff. I would say one of my, it's fucked up, but some of my favorite ones are the ones where, weird sexual devices are involved. So the weirdest thing I've, well, one of the weirdest things I've gone to, and is right before, I was actually assigned to this unit, is we go to this motel, and it's no, like, people go there, and it's a shithole. And like the officer reports it, and he goes, yeah, like, it's kind of weird. You know, there's some coronas, there's some meth, and you're like, okay, like, sounds like we got to go to this. And this dude is completely naked, and he's got a like a giant dildo up his ass.
Oof.
Oh, it gets better. As weird as that sounds, it gets better. So we go, so again, we have to manipulate the body, we have to get him into a body bag. So we go to move him, and the dildo shoots out of his ass, which was oh, you may want to keep that going.
Okay, it's going.
So not only did the dildo shoot out of his ass, but he had a pocket pussy on the front. This fool was fucking hitting it from both ends,
Hey
and I
man,
guess
going out on top.
I wouldn't say he went out on top. He went out with a bang, man.
You know, I
So we've
hope when I die, it's sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I hope when
no,
I
you're
die,
fine.
I'm jerking off like a real American.
Hey, so okay, so on topic but off topic, not jerking off, but it's amazing how many people die on the fucking toilet.
Oh, dude, my favorite death call, I think, was on the toilet.
Dude, it, so I would say like a solid like 35% of people who die on the fucking toilet
Grunting
taking
one
a
out.
fat ass shit.
Grunting it
And
out.
well, so little known fact, I didn't know this, but one of the signs of a heart attack is you get the feeling that you have to take a fat shit.
No shit, really?
Yeah. Literally, like, well, no shit, but literally shit. But like, yeah,
Man, I wonder if I
they
have
go
heart
on the
attacks
toilet.
every day.
Dude, well, it, I mean, it's, I, it's kind of one of those loose things where you're, well, not like the turd, but, you know, like, it's really fucking weird, like, how many people die on the toilet, and you're just like, what the fuck? And then I have some people that I work with who have been doing this for 10 plus years, and they're like, no, like, that's common. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, no, like, you know, people think they have to take a shit and they have a heart attack on the toilet, like, mid crap.
Can I tell my shit, my story? Can I tell my story about this? And I'm
No,
going to.
you can tell whatever story you want. I'm not going to judge you.
You're not my dad. So
Yeah, I'm not your dad. Be weird
I
if I was.
know I've know I've told this story a couple times, but it's specifically to the toilet. So if you haven't heard it, enjoy. So I was trying, I'm going to tell the whole fucking story. So I was trying to be a nice guy and cover a call for somebody. Like a welfare check kind of thing, because I was just happened to be down in their area, and I was like, oh, I'll take care of this fucking welfare check, no big deal. And so and so didn't show up to work. Fucking Steve didn't show up to work, you know?
No, fucking
And
Steve.
fucking Steve. Steve didn't show up to work, and it was really unlike him, or maybe he hadn't been there for like 3 days or something, maybe a couple days. I don't know. It was very unlike him.
Yeah.
So they called in a welfare check. It was like the guy probably fucking quit, because that happens all the time. I've been on that call all the time where you
Yeah.
go do a welfare check from the employer, and the guy's like, no, they didn't get the fucking hint. I don't want to work there anymore. I didn't, you know, fuck them. And I was like, okay, cool, good enough. It happens. So I thought that's what it was going to be. Knock on the door, nobody answers. Knock on the garage, nobody answers. Sweet, I'm out. And as I'm pulling away, a guy walks out of the house and is waving at me. He's like, oh, did you just knock on my door? I'm like, oh, are you fucking Steve? And he's like, no, Steve's my roommate, which was a little weird because the guy, well, I guess you can't control your roommate sometimes. The guy that came out was probably in his 20s, and Steve, I think, was in his 60s or 70s, right? And he's like, well, Steve didn't show up to work. Well, I'll let you in. We'll go check on him, right? And this dude, like, I was trying to tell him, like, hey, hold on a second. And he just barges into Steve's room. He's like, Steve, the cops are here. They want to talk to you. And he goes into the bathroom. He's like, Steve, are you okay? There's something wrong with Steve. I'm like, okay, I'll go check on Steve. And so I have him step out, go to the living room. And I go find Steve. And Steve's just fucking stiff as a board on the toilet, right? And I was like, all right, he's dead on the toilet. Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
So the fire department, they come in and pronounce and stuff. And they all walk out. And the roommate's kind of sitting there on the couch. I'll never fucking forget this because I know this is really fucking sad.
Yeah.
But it was just so goddamn funny. Is the roommate, he's like, they're leaving. So Steve doesn't need to go to the hospital. He's okay. I was like, well, I got some bad news, kiddo. Now here's the second best part, maybe the first part. I think Steve worked for like Comcast or some big cable company or Dish or wherever, right? And I call, and before I can even tell the manager what happened, he's like, hey, I really appreciate you going and checking on fucking Steve. You know, he didn't show up today, and you know, we had a guy not show up, and we didn't call because we just figured he quit and end up he was dead. And so we wanted to call and make sure. And I was like, well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's happened again.
Oh, God.
And so anyway, apparently Big Cable is the kiss of death. Probably my favorite death story, easily. Is anything else you want to cover about your gig? Or are you ready to talk about Megan Hall?
I mean, it just depends on what you want to talk about. I would say we get a lot of weird stuff. Like, we've had multiple people where they've died with, and they've got like Prince Albert's. That's a weird one. Or like they've got prolapse assholes, and like they've got some weird object near their anus that fell out after they decomposed a little bit.
Hey,
you know.
Hold on a second. I got a couple actually somewhat serious questions about this topic. How did you, is this like a unit you wanted to go to? Like, oh, this sounds interesting. Or they were like, hey, guess what, Steve? Pack your bags.
Weird thing is it's actually a unit to where you have to want to go there. And essentially you have to work overtime. You have to go on your own time, and it's cool because you get paid. And essentially you have to like try to learn before you can go there. It's not like, oh, this guy fucked up, we're just gonna send him to this unit where they're gonna get mental health trauma beyond the ass, because you're seeing anywhere from, you know, somebody who's been stabbed to death over 100 times or a child that's died. And we're just gonna like let you enjoy this, so to speak, you know, like, but you know, like, you gotta, it's a unit where you have to really like, you gotta put in the work ahead of time to try to learn before going there. And essentially, like, you have to want to go there. And it's weird because I wanted to go there. And like, the first time you go there and you go to do this, and like, you're going to like your first death call, and they're like, hey, like, grab their legs, like pick them up, and you're like, what? Like, it doesn't seem real. It's really, really like hard to describe without being there, but you're literally like manipulating a dead body, and this is somebody's family member. This is somebody who, like, somebody cares about this person, And sometimes they don't. Like, sometimes they do have people that are just like, fuck that family member. I want nothing to do with them. Rightfully so in those situations, usually. But again, like, it's somebody's family member, and you're literally having to like go and like expose yourself to that and manipulate this person and move them around. And it's just a weird thing. And it's weird because you have to get kind of numb to it. Because at first you're just kind of like tripped out about it. You're like, am I really, is this really a dead body? Like, is this person real? Like, it doesn't seem real at first. And then as you do it more, you're kind of like, holy fuck, like, I'm doing some weird stuff to like put this person in body bag. Or it's hard to describe.
Okay, this is weird, and I've made it almost an hour into the podcast before I bring up fishing. Weird segue, because I know how much Saul loves fishing, but
Well, Saul loves pegging too.
he does. I it's been discussed. I catch and release. I catch them, put them in there so they can get bigger. Occasionally, you kill a fish, right? Occasionally, you kill a fish, and I feel fucking bad if I kill a bass, right? And people are, what? It's just a fucking fish. I'm like, I don't know. I felt bad. I fucking took him from his home and I fucking killed him. I feel like kind of a piece of shit. Now,
Yeah, like,
a
what's
lot of
his family
people,
feel?
how this fucking family's really upset. I fucking took this poor fish away from his fucking family. He had a
Yeah,
wife and
Miss
kids.
Bass. Like, Miss Bass has to put in all the work to take care of the kids.
It's fucked up. But it's just a fucking fish at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, they're legal to fucking, if I took him and fucking ate him, nobody'd give a shit, right? But in
Well,
fact,
Miss Bass
this
does,
fish
but
would still. But
she doesn't count.
this is a weird equation to make, but like I've gone to death scenes and it's just a call, right? And I don't get me wrong, like there's definitely like, kids and like shit. It's sad. Like those ones
Oh,
are really tough
100%.
to swallow. But like you go to enough of these deaths, it's just a call. And like you just kinda you mentally you become kind of numb to it. But I would assume like what you're seeing, it's just like fucking what it's just it is what it is, right? It's like this is your job now. But
Yeah,
I was
so
gonna oh go ahead, go ahead.
No, well, so no, I don't want to cut you off. So, like, finish what you're saying, and I'll kind of go into my little thing that I got.
Well, what I was gonna say though is my next thing I was gonna ask. Before we move on to the Megan Hall thing was like how you're processing all of that, like how you deal with it or are you just totally cool with it? Like I know certain cops that fucking like my dad I mentioned, no problem. No emotion on anything like that. Where like me, I don't think I could do your job.
So, I mean, I can talk about it for like, I wouldn't say a lot, but it's weird. So, I think a big factor is your partners. So, I've got some amazing partners that vary from like 15 plus years of just doing what I do in the field to myself, which I have the least amount of experience out of the four of us. And a big factor with the mental, I guess, was be like the mental health side of things is having good people that check on you. And that goes not just on like your partners, but also when it comes to your supervisor with your sergeant or like command staff. And I have to say, I'm blessed to have amazing partners and an awesome sergeant and then amazing command staff in my that cover our duty station to where you go to that fucked up call of like a child, and they're like, hey, are you okay afterwards? Like, hey, like, do you want to talk about it? And you can trust them enough to where you're like, hey, I can actually have this conversation and not feel like, A, they're going to put me on blast and tell the whole department, but then B, also that they're genuinely concerned because they're not easy calls. Like, I don't think anybody can ever be numb to go into a child death. And I know at least for us, like, those are always the shittiest calls. But then, like, you see some fucked off shit. Like, we've had, I mean, I can't go into detail because I'll totally dox myself because some of them are some like crazy cases that we've had, but like murder suicides with children involved. Like, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to get exposed to that. And it's not going to, like, there's no way like anybody can just go see that and not fuck with them, especially if kids or a family. Like, you don't want to be exposed to that. And those are probably by far like the fucked up shit. I will say, like, when it comes to, which I don't know your exposure on like decomposing bodies, but some of those, like, we actually find kind of entertaining because you get to see other officers that aren't exposed to it that often. And for us, like, it's just part of the job. It's no big deal. But then some of these officers are like, oh, like it smells horrible. And we go in there, like, it doesn't smell that bad. Like, we've smelled worse. Like, it's not bad until you start getting bodily fluids on you and you're just like, okay, like, what the fuck?
Let's change the change up a
Change
little
the
bit
tune.
here. We're gonna change the tune a little bit. So, we're gonna do some poorly made police news, and as you guys may have figured out, it's about Megan Hall. Now, I have to apologize. It is November 22nd, not November 22nd. What the fuck? It's late. I'm
March
tired.
22nd.
It's March 22nd. March 22nd. This podcast is not coming out until sometime in April. So, like, I don't know, a couple weeks. Everything's a little like fucky in PM world. I'm really trying to get ahead of things. Not that anybody cares, but just so you guys know, I mentioned it before, but trying to get ahead on things. So when, the summertime comes and baseball and all that stuff comes with my kids, I can really focus on that, but also make sure I got shit for you guys to listen to, right? So I'm trying to get a little bit of ahead. So I apologize, like, the news may be a little untimely. I apologize, but Megan Hall. So she is in the news because she settled with Laverne and she got 500K. Now, we broke this down on a prior podcast, and I am of the opinion that she was probably going to get paid because of the kind of the shitty shit that the chief was doing. Like, the chief was trying to get in on that, and the chief had fucking her nudies and shit. Like, bad. Right? Like, all bad. I understand why she got paid in that aspect. I did make a meme making fun of her. Maybe I'm an asshole, but I
No.
still don't really like see her as a victim in this. Like, I don't like, I'll be honest, I guess I would see her, I guess I could kind of see her in a victim of this as, like, I don't think she wanted the chief having her fucking nudie. Let's just be realistic here, all right? And this is shit like you should know as an adult. You shouldn't be fucking just sending your nudies to everybody, right? That should be maybe something you hang on to until you really trust somebody, not just fucking sending them out. Although if you want to send me some nudies, I'm here for it. But you really shouldn't do that, right? Because you don't, people, especially if, you don't really know somebody, or obviously these are not like, this shit was like outside of her marriage, like, these probably aren't like really great people. So maybe be more careful with that shit. But she also didn't deserve to be the chief having it on the phone or whatever, right? So I'm not saying the chief did nothing wrong. The whole thing was fucking scummy. But I find it interesting how some people look at Megan Hall. Like, I think most people look at Megan Hall as like, she fucked up. Like, she fucked up, right? People make mistakes. People fucking get horny. They make mistakes. People fuck up, but she fucked up. She was an adult in an adult job, and she's having sex with fucking people she worked with. She fucked up. Okay. The grooming thing just fucking makes me lose my mind, though. Have you seen people saying that she was groomed?
See, I think that's total bullshit. And I mean, that's just my opinion. But I think at the end of the day, like, you're a fucking adult, right? And so like, it's not like, unless you got some kind of like grave disability, like, you got the mentality of like a 5-year-old. Like, I feel like you're kind of pulling some bullshit excuse. And I'm sorry if like that offends somebody, but it's like she's a freaking cop, or she was a cop, right? Like, you pass a backgrounds check, you pass a psychology check, like, you are fit to be a cop. You're upholding our constitution. And to sit there and be like, oh, I fell victim of grooming, I feel like it's a total cop out. Like, you cheated on your husband and you literally had a train ran on you. You know what? Even if the chief, because at least speaking from my perspective with my department, right? We all know who's sleeping with who. You can deny it all you want. We're not people aren't stupid, and I would say a term is people try to sit there and compare it to high school. High school drama is nothing to law enforcement drama that happens within departments. And I mean, it's shitty, but some cops are the worst frickin' when it comes to gossip. They love to gossip more than high school kids. And they're gonna send your like you want to send that person a picture, they're gonna send it to everybody they know. They're gonna send it to their buddies, they're gonna show it to everyone. And it's yeah, okay, so maybe the chief got it, but at the same time, you're the one taking that photo and sending it to somebody, without really thinking it through. And I mean, it's shitty, but some guys and some people are just that kind of person. There's certain buddies, if a chick sent me some titties, I'm not gonna send it to them because I know they're gonna send it to everybody. You never know.
See,
And
that's a weird thing to me, because I know dudes that do that, and granted, I've been with my wife for a long time now, but my wife sends me titty pictures. I'm not fucking sending them to people, but there's dudes that do that, and I'm like, you know, this chick sent these to you, not to me, you know?
She's trusting you, and her thing is she's sending them to you for you to enjoy it, not for somebody else. And so I always, and this is just me personally, a chick sends me some nudies or some titty pics or whatever it may be. For me, I don't I'm selfish. I don't like to share that shit. I'm not gonna show my buddy. I'm not gonna share, send it to somebody. I'm just selfish in that sense. This is my shit. I'll tell my buddy, but I'm not gonna show them, and I'm not gonna especially send them to somebody. But then being a cop and sending that stuff out, and we've had some people in our department where they've done shit like that, and then they end up getting into trouble. And it's usually guys sending pictures they shouldn't be sending to, or videos. And I can't go into detail without really fucking doxing myself at that point. But you're accepting that responsibility of doing something kind of stupid, and it's gonna bite you in the ass. Is it really worth it? You want to play victim about it, and it's but at the same time, you got to know your audience, you got to know your crowd, and you kind of bring it on yourself depending on the situation.
Well,
Again, I'm not justifying anything, but I mean, you're already getting trained by six dudes. You really think one of those guys is gonna fucking say, not send that out to everybody?
and to kind of go back to the whole grooming aspect to it, I think people use people fucking take words and use them where they're not supposed to be. Like racist. Everything's fucking racist now.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's a fucking groomer now. Everybody, you know, it was like every fucking president's been compared to Hitler, or everything's a fucking genocide, or you know, the words lose meaning when they're fucking abused, right? You could make a debate with me to say hey, look, these dudes knew she was fucking making poor choices, and they helped her make poor choices. That to me is not a fucking groomer. Like she's still the controller of her destiny. Like
Oh,
she,
100%.
and I hate when. Look, I'm going to use an example, right? I have made it very clear that I fucking like to go gambling, right? I love going to the casinos, right? And people could say, well, especially online game, or let's just use sports betting, which I haven't got into, but sports betting, there's all this stuff about how it's predatory. And maybe it is. But guess what? People have fucking free will to decide if they're going to be dipshits. That's like me fucking saying, the fucking casino is a fucking groomer because it the bright pretty colors trick me into putting fucking money in the machine. No, I'm the fucking idiot who goes over there and fucking puts my hard-earned money in there, knowing full well the fucking casino is gonna fucking fist fuck me. All right.
No, totally. They
I'm
mean,
not being groomed by the casino. Now I know that's a lot different of a perspective of it. And people are like, well, she's the only one getting shit, and she's the only one that got in trouble. I'm gonna actually read a message I got But a point that was made in this fucking message is like the guys didn't get fired. And I was like, they did get fired. Well, not for having sex. It's like, no, they still were held accountable. Everybody involved in that got fired. Like, everybody got in trouble for that shit. The guys are getting a ton of shit too. Look, did Megan get more shit? Yeah, she did. That's the way the cookie crumbled. Like, I hate the fucking equality and memes people want. Like, oh, well, if you made a meme about her, you have to make a meme about him. No, I don't. Right. I do not have to fucking have meme equality.
Well, and at the end of the day, like, some of that stuff is just like everybody's getting in trouble for it. Obviously, she's being publicized for it. And I think part of it is because she's being a fucking hoe at work. And, you know, and I'm not justifying anybody's actions, at all. You want to fuck around, like, fuck around on your personal time. Don't do that shit at work. Because it's just stupid. Like,
that's I would argue, don't even fuck around on your personal time. If you're, and I've made this point, but like, if you're a cop and you can't fucking follow the most basic fucking rule of life of not cheating on your spouse, how the fuck are you gonna like protect people's rights when you don't even fucking respect your wife?
Well,
and I know that's an extreme view. I know some people don't agree with me there, and that's fine, but like, that's the way I look at that shit.
Well, I agree with you. Like, you know what? Because at the end of the day, like, for me, like, if it's that bad, like, break up with your spouse or break up with your significant other. Nothing justifies cheating. I think that shit's just totally, it shouldn't be on the table, right? I think it's a cop-out. I think it's a total bullshit move. And like you were saying, you know, like, we're expected to uphold the fucking Constitution, but then if you're out there fucking being a little sleazebag, like, it ain't cool. And, like, how's somebody supposed to, like, expect you to, like, do your job, but then on your personal time, you're being this little shitbag? I mean, it's no different than, you know, going around fucking around, and then you're like, oh, it's okay because I'm a cop, like... Or like the guys that get pulled over and they're drunk and they're cops and they're like, oh, like, just let me off with a warning. Like, no big deal. You know, like, it's a slippery slope. I feel like, you know, I feel like once you kind of step on that into that realm, like, you're opening yourself up to more. I mean, I don't know if it sounds right or not, but like, temptations, and you expose yourself to more shit that you shouldn't be exposed to. As a cop, like, you're expected, like, at least for us, like, with our department, is you're expected to uphold like an upstanding personal life. Like, you do shit outside of that and it can fuck you over in your work life, and like, you shouldn't be doing that shit. Nobody should be doing that shit.
So I want to read some messages, right? I try not to do the high school drama type stuff, but this shit was fucking cracking me up. So I occasionally get some weird fucking DMs. And even before the Megan Hall thing dropped, I posted a meme. So this is a person I've interacted with a little bit in the past. You know, like, she's messaged me and said that, like, male cops don't get in trouble for stuff. And I'm like, they do. I've seen it. It's, you know. And so I made a meme with, I think it was Taylor Swift, and it was captioned, the new female officer after getting dick pics from most of the command staff, and she's obviously surprised by it. And this lady comment, or she sends me this DM, this is what I'm talking about. If a guy does this, it's okay, and they get high fives and definitely no discipline. If a female cop sends kitty pics, she will be called a whore and get disciplined. And I was like, no, dudes get in trouble for this shit. She's like, nope, no, they don't get trouble. I'm like, nope, they do. Like, just because you don't think they do doesn't mean that they don't. Like,
I feel like it's not as publicized.
Well, and then she's like, well, you're not, that could be fair. She's like, well, you're not going to change my mind. I'm like, well, you fucking, this chick's like messaging me. Like, I'm not trying to change your mind. You fucking messaged me.
Yeah, I'm just responding back to what you said. Yeah,
and I basically just told her, I was like, look, I can't speak for every department, but I just tell you, my department, people did fucking stupid shit. They got in trouble, like, guy or girl. Oh. Like, it's not like it has anything to do with genitals.
No, like, I think if somebody gets into trouble for doing stuff, like, you like people may see one more than the other, like you were saying, but usually it's all parties involved are getting in trouble for it, you know.
So
I mean, it depends on what sell, like, and that's what's like publicized in the media in a sense. Is it's like what's gonna sell, right? Like Megan Hall, her stuff, her she was like the center point of view. Like that's what's like gonna get the most views. It's not gonna be like, oh, these six guys are all like sleaze bags. They still got fucked in, you know, fucking in trouble. Sorry, I can't talk. But like everybody got in trouble. But then, you know, what's gonna really sell more in the sense of like that's gonna be publicized? And that's what you're
So,
seeing more, I think of.
so, so then after this Megan Hall thing dropped, I posted a meme about that. And she's like, see how she was talked about and treated differently than a male cop doing the same? And I said, yeah, she got special treatment. Do you think a guy could sleep with his whole department and sue? That's inequality. And
Oh, 100%.
she's like, these guys are the ones that groomed her and then chastised her for doing what men do. If a guy was groomed, then yes. And I said, no, she was a cop. And she's like, you're a typical male cop. I said, she's not someone with special needs. I called her a typical victim. Females are capable of poor judgment. She's not a victim. Calling her a victim takes away from real victims, which I fucking truly believe. But that here's what this is what this is really the fucking meat and potatoes of. This is what fucking cracked me up. Listen, you aren't ever going to change my mind. Women are treated like sex symbols in departments, and the minute a female cop sleeps with her coworker, she is bullied and, in my case, demoted, and in her case, fired. I'm going to run with this and sue my department.
On what? Like,
Apparently, she got demoted for sleeping with some dude. I'm sure that's the
well,
whole
maybe
story.
she shouldn't have been like Megan Hall. Maybe she shouldn't have been like the freaking new hire in, was it New York that, you know, was giving out lap dances? Like,
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of circumstantial, right? You know, if you feel like you fall into that criteria, it's like, well, were you a consenting adult? Like, at the same time, like, if you're a cop, like, you're supposed to. You're kind of expected to not fall a victim of that shit, which I mean, it still happens. Like, you know, there's criteria where like some people fall into like domestic violence and shit, and you fall into that kind of weird,
How
like,
do you
kind
trip
of.
and fall into domestic violence?
I mean, you fall down the stairs accidentally, you know.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, that was a little fucked off, but it's not my fault they fell into the door handle, which I do not condone domestic violence.
Jesus Christ.
You know, but like, I mean, we've had some fucked up shit at my department, like domestic violence coming from somebody who got caught cheating and they beat their significant other, and you're kind of like, but you're the one who caused that? Like, you can't play victim to that.
Well, like I know, you know, there's been cases within departments where there's like love triangles and people kill each other over that shit.
Oh,
And
yeah. Or
it's
knock up
just,
their best friend's wife.
yeah, like stop fucking doing the Jerry Springer people. Just fucking stop doing the Jerry Springer shit. Can we fucking just be normal? You stop
Well,
doing fucking weird shit.
don't just be fucking faithful. Like, quit, like, on guys' ends, like, quit sticking your dick in fucking anything that's wet. And then on chicks' ends, quit fucking falling on poles.
Okay, so from that end of the spectrum, another end of the spectrum, I had a female follower of the page send me a message, and she's pretty regular and very, I think, highly of her. I don't fucking know who she is, but she always has very intelligent things to say. And she said, I think there's, and this is in regards to the settling lawsuit, I think they're setting a dangerous standard. I think paying out in cases like that. That's not what she said. They are setting a dangerous standard, I think, paying out in cases like that. And I said I agreed. And she made this point, which I stole later, was there's definitely an inequality there too, because I bet you 50, a dude would never win a case like this, even in the same situation.
Well,
100%.
oh, I totally agree. Like, I'm sorry. To end up in her situation, like, if you're a dude and let's say you were sleeping with a bunch of females in the department and then on duty and you got caught, there's no way you'd be able to play victim and get paid out. And I'll say, like, I was surprised she got paid out. Like,
Nah, I wasn't. It's cheaper to
I mean,
sell.
in a sense, I'm not saying like I'm really genuinely surprised. Like, I'm really not. Like, the moment she came out saying that she was gonna like sue the department, is like they're gonna pay out. But like, there's no way a dude in the same situation would get paid out. And it, you know, and it kind of, it's like, you know, so yeah, she lost her job. Like, oh no, like that's a bummer. But you know, maybe you shouldn't have had a train run on you. Maybe you shouldn't have been fucking on duty. And on top of that, like, I mean, I feel bad for her husband. Like, this dude's just been on the sideshow and he's still remaining faithful, to my knowledge at least. And then now your wife's getting paid out for this shit. Like, that's crazy. And like, I mean, shit, like, who wouldn't want to get paid out though for being like a fucking whore? I mean, pardon my language, but not trying to offend anybody, but you know, like, a dude's not going to get paid out for being a fucking hoe on duty.
So there's your poorly made police news. I'm sure we'll talk about that more. All right, buddy, you ready for some dumb fucking questions?
Actually, I gotta drain the snake. Can I get a quick break?
Yeah, fuck it. Take a break, man.
I mean, it's
Great,
going to be quick. I mean,
great time
there's
for
not
an
much going
ad.
on there.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and be right back to the podcast. Oh, hey there. It's just me. Just got a couple quick things for you guys. Wanted to remind you in the podcast description and on the meme page, I got a link tree. It has all your favorite poorly made stuff. You can get to the Ghost Patch stuff that we do together. You can also get the Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Got our friends Officer Privacy, Fit Responder, Frontline Optics, Revelations Training, and then, of course, a link to my merch. So make sure you guys are checking that out for everything poorly made. And one last thing before I let you get back to the podcast. The very last thing you see on every single podcast is a link. That's how you become a monthly donor slash sponsor to the podcast. You can do that if you love the podcast and you want to help a fella out, or if you just feel sorry for me, go ahead and click that link to be a monthly donor. Now, back to the podcast. All right. You ready for the dumbest of dumb questions?
Oh, dude, I love dumb questions. They fit
All
with
right.
me.
The snake is drained and he's ready for dumb questions. Okay. So we brought up poor Miss Bass after I murder her husband on accident. But do you like to go fishing? What's your hobby? What do to blow off steam?
Oh, dude, you know, I can't say I've got a good hobby right now. I've been dealing with a lot of personal stuff, partially of custody court. So my life's been staying home and watching movies and jerking off.
Hey, jerking off's a hobby.
It's satisfying in the moment, and then sometimes you feel a little dissatisfied afterwards.
Depends on what you're looking at.
You know, that's very true. And there's
Because
so much stuff out there. You're
if
like,
you catch yourself looking at some fucking like real deviant shit, and then you're like, did I really just fucking come to that? Fuck me.
you know, I try to keep it modest. You know, like, you don't want to deal, like, if you, I feel like if you deep, you know, you dive into the deep end, you go someplace you can't come back from, and then next thing you know, like, you get into a relationship with somebody, and then now you've got some weird expectations,
Hey,
you
so I
know?
need you to go ahead and put on this mask.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your favorite type of sauce?
Ooh, favorite type of sauce. I gotta think on that one because that's kind of difficult. Like, that's really hard. I mean, like, it
That's
depends
what
on the
she said.
situation. Like, are we talking like chicken nuggets? Or are we talking like French fries or like everyday goods?
I would say the way I'm presenting this question, like you, I guess you have to think of what your favorite food with the sauce is too. Like if you're like super excited to have the sauce, that's what she said.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, that's kind of tough. Like, and I could just be, I'm probably being way too difficult right now. So I apologize for that. I would say ketchup or barbecue sauce. Like, they both have their places. But I use both more than I've used other sauces.
I respect that. You know, ketchup's like one of those old standbys that we kind of forget about. Thanks for your service, ketchup.
You know, I think ketchup's underrated. You know, people don't respect it for what it is. It can go on almost anything. Well, take that back. My kid eats ketchup on his fucking turkey sandwich, which is weird as fuck.
Oh, that's fucking wrong.
Oh, it's totally wrong. But I, you know, I have a brother, and you know, he's a little special. He's not special needs, but he's special, and he's dipped his bacon in milk. So,
you know, with kids, kids, you just have, like, if they're fucking eating food, you just let it go.
Oh, 100%.
Fuck it. They're eating food. We're just going to fucking let this shit go.
No, totally. And my kid's like obsessed with ranch, and I've watched him literally eat it with a spoon. And for me, like, I can't do ranch, which I may offend people for that, but
you can't fit in the Midwest.
You know, I wouldn't fit in the Midwest. You're totally right. You know, ranch, you know, ranch has done me dirty. But my kid loves that shit, and he'll eat that shit with a spoon. And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? But, you know, he's eating something, so I'd rather have him eat that than frickin' who knows what.
Would you do it all over again? Or would you have taken a different path?
You mean like career wise or?
Yeah, career wise. Yes,
I would totally do. Like, I love what I do. I've always wanted to do patrol. And like we kind of touched on earlier, I haven't. I'm still really young. And unfortunately, with our retirement system, I still have to do like 25 plus years on to get like my max out my retirement, so to speak. I love the job. I love the people. You know, you've got your shitty days, you get your good days. But at the end of the day, like, some of the people I've met through the career are people I would never give up through my life, and I would go to hell and back for. You know, the only thing that would make me second guess like the career is where I'm at now. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but like forensic pathologists, those fuckers make fucking bank. I would say our doctors are making like $4,000 an autopsy, and they're doing like five to seven a day, and they'll work like a full week and come out with like $100,000 paycheck. And they're doing that shit all over the US and making like hundreds, if not like millions of dollars a year. So like, you know, maybe I could have gone to school. I mean, I'm not smart, so I probably couldn't have made it doing the whole medical side of things. But looking back at it, I'm like, damn, like I could be making hella good money cutting people open and being like, yeah, they died from this, or like they overdosed. Yeah, this bullet hole to the wound to the head like killed them.
What is the dumbest thing you did as a rookie?
Ooh. Well, I can't drop the dude's name, but it was when I was working at the jail. And we had this habitual guy who'd always get arrested by the same two agencies. And he'd come in, and he's this might give me away, depending on who's listening.
Then don't fucking say it. Don't fucking say it then.
I don't mind saying it. You know, because like I'm not going to drop his name, but I was brand new. So this dude is wheelchair bound. He's always in and out of custody. He died. So rest in peace, his soul. For those of who may know him and listen to this, he's on YouTube. And so one of our things is when you leave the facility, whether it's court or you come in as like a new, like you're new to the unit, you have to strip search these people, which anybody who works for a sheriff's department, one thing they don't advertise is you're going to see so many naked dudes. They don't tell you that. Like, they don't tell you you're gonna see dick and balls on a regular basis at like 5 to 10 people at a time. So I'm kind of upset about that because it was not in the hiring video. But yeah, so I'm like sitting there stripping this dude out, and my training officer's just sitting there laughing. And I'm getting cussed out by this old ass dude in this wheelchair. And I finish everything, and it's just totally awkward. Like, officer safety went out the window. Again, I'm brand new. And after all of it, my training officer is just sitting there laughing his ass off. And he goes, "Hey, I hope you know, like, we don't strip that guy out. Like his wheelchair is covered in fecal matter, and you're sitting there like looking at his boxers." And I'm like, "Well, you know, like, I'm doing stuff by policy. Like, this is what I was trained to do." And he's just like, "Bro, like, come on. You really think he's gonna smuggle in fucking drugs? Like, this dude's asking you for a six pack and a freaking pack of smokes."
I mean, he might be smuggling in drugs. It's
You
the
know
perfect
what? If
play.
he smuggled shit in at that point, fucking let him have it. Like, he's keeping to himself. Like, when you leave in shit stains from the wheelchair all the way across any carpet or anything, you're kind of like, "Oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done this." Oh yeah.
I got a wheelchair guy story, but we'll save that for another time. If you had a time machine to go back when you were brand new and starting out, what would one piece of advice you'd give yourself be?
You know, it's kind of tough because I feel like for me, that's a good question. You know, I would say try everything out, depending on, and it's dependent on your agency, but I'd say give every, so like try everything out. And to give some context on that is with my agency, you had a lot of veteran people where certain things would come up because we'd get a lot of special assignments that anybody could do. And you get the veteran officers that have been on for anywhere. And I use it loosely because you get a lot of people with like 2 years on that freaking sit there and feel like they've got the biggest dick in the world, but they have no experience compared to the guy who's been on for 25 years. And anywhere from those guys to the guys with 25 years, they would sit there and be like, "Oh, like, fuck this assignment. Like, it's a shit. Like, it's shitty. Like, don't do it. Like, you're gonna be miserable." And for me, I was like, "You know, I want to try everything out that I can." And I gotta build my own opinion of it. And I would tell new guys after I'd been on for a little bit is like they'd come in and like the event would come up and they'd be like, "Oh, like I think I'm gonna sign up for this, or I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna volunteer for this." And I would tell them because they would come in and they would have talked to somebody else who's been on for longer than they have, and they'd be like, "Oh, I was told not to do it. Like, I'd be miserable. It's going to be shit." The biggest thing I could say is, like, do it for yourself. Go into it with an open mindset and determine if it's something you like. Because you may have that guy who had a miserable experience doing it, but then there's going to be somebody who had the most fun doing it. And if you, and you're not going to know that because you're going to be only exposed to that one person that gave you their one opinion about it. So do it for yourself. Try it out. Sorry. But like make that decision for yourself if it's something you enjoy. 'Cause I feel like there's a lot of people that missed out on opportunities because they listened to that one person that said it was shitty. Or and it's like you could have like the time of your life. And some of my like best times I had were working those special assignments where the typical person was miserable, but I made it fun. And it's part of our job is like, if you can't make your job fun, what's the point?
That
So
was
if you,
profound. No, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go on, keep going.
no, like, but my thing is like, you, you know, like again, somebody has that shitty experience, they're gonna talk shit about it their entire career. And when it comes back around, they're gonna tell that new person who, like, hey, it's shitty as fuck, like, don't do it. You're gonna be fucking, you know, sweaty, you're gonna be miserable, whatever it may be. But then if you don't do it for yourself, like, how are you supposed to really know what it's like? And then on top of that, fuck, I'm choking over here on oxygen.
Fucking cocks.
You listen, what I do in my free time is none of your business.
I'm here to judge.
You know, listen, the whole department's running a train. It's not my fault. But yeah, like you gotta experience it for yourself, make your own mindset of it. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. There's too many people that are, and I've told new guys, and it was with little time on, but I told guys that were brand new, I was like, hey, you can enjoy it, you can be miserable. Just do it though, if it interests you. And if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. But if you like it, you expose yourself to it. And then at the same time, like it's what you make it. Like this whole job is what you make it. You know, you can sit there and you can be miserable working, like in our case, the jail. You can be like, oh, this fucking sucks. But you can make it fun. I mean, you can sit there and make it enjoyable. And if you can do that, like you can do that job every day. Otherwise, this job's going to eat you alive. It's going to kill you. You're going to want to get out and you're going to be tired of it. And you're going to get burnt out quick. You're going to get burnt out fast. But if you can make it fun, like just make the most of it.
I like that. I like that a lot. From that to the most embarrassing moment of your life. What is the most embarrassing moment of your life?
Ooh, of my entire life?
Of your entire life?
Ooh, okay. I gotta think about that because I've had some pretty embarrassing moments in my life. I've had some times in my life where I regret, but I don't know. I can give you a couple
Yeah, go for it.
times.
Go for it.
I would say one of the most embarrassing times of my life was I was trick-or-treating on Halloween with my family. And I actually got pantsed by my mom in front
What?
of like 100 people.
Bro, you need to go to therapy for that. Was like it intentional?
Oh, it was 100% intentional.
Your fucking mom pants you, dude. Your mom's a fucking monster.
You know, I love my mom. And looking back at it, it was fucking hilarious. And it was my fault. I was talking shit to her, and she's just like, and she just kind of let it go. And then she just kind of was like, it was one of those like fuck it moments. Like, I'm gonna embarrass the shit out of you being my son. And you know, I got pantsed by my mom in front of like 100 people on Halloween. And you know, I was younger, and it was one of those things where I was like, what the fuck is happening? You know, and you know, I don't know what underwear I was wearing, but I'm sure it was some kind of like Power Ranger bullshit. And you're just kind of like, what the fuck? You know, I would say that.
You know, I'm all for parents like being parents. I don't know, man. That's a little over the top in my humble opinion. Like, I mean, maybe you were being a little shit and you
Was
deserve
totally a little shit.
something, but to be fucking pantsed by your mom, I don't know, but I think you need to fucking go talk to somebody. That's fucking worse than all the bodies you see.
You know, it was pretty bad. I can't say I'd want to relive that moment. So, it was definitely not my finest moment in life.
Also in the running for name of the podcast is Your Mom is a Monster.
I
All right, we've
mean, my
kind
mom's.
of okay.
Huh? No,
Go
it's
ahead.
okay. No, I don't
Are you
I want to
sure?
keep going.
Okay. Yeah, we know more childhood trauma. Okay, we've kind of hit, I think we've kind of hit the dildo story. We've hit the dead guy. This is a new question. What is the funniest prank or the funniest moment on the job that you can think of?
So I can't say I have like the funniest prank. I've heard pranks that have been done in the past, but then the way my department is nowadays, like, it's kind of hard to do certain pranks. I know we've had a lot of pranks at the jail where people have like sprayed pepper spray underneath the bathroom door and shit like that to fuck with people.
Classic comedy.
I mean, you think about it and you're like, okay, like it'd be shitty in the moment afterwards, or be shitty all around, but afterwards you'd be like, okay, that's pretty good. Dude, I would say, I don't know if I'd call it the funniest moment. Because I've got a couple things. So one of the weirdest things I had was when I was at the jail, I was by myself in a unit where it was 2 to 1. So like you had to have two officers to, or two deputies to one inmate to like let them out, or like let them out for recreational time, or do whatever you did interacting with them outside of their cell. It was 2 to 1. And I was by myself and I'm passing out lunches. And we're going around and there's this guy who, to give some backstory, he always needed toilet paper. And it was weird. Like on a daily basis, he asked for multiple rolls of toilet paper. And you just kind of give it to him. You're like, whatever, like here's some toilet paper. Like, no big deal. Like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. You want toilet paper? Have some toilet paper. Like, you want to fucking make a mask out of toilet paper? Go for it. You wipe that often? Go for it. I don't care. We've got great plumbing. You're not going to clog the toilet. And so I'm passing out lunches, and it was the weirdest. I gotta say, it's the fucking weirdest shit I've ever seen. And it's crazy because I can still picture it to this day. Unfortunately, I wish I could scrub it from my mind. But I'm going and I look in and I'm looking to the cell because you're also checking to make sure they're alive, right? And this dude, and all I see is this dude like bent over in a bright red, like looking object. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I don't think anything of it. We give him his lunch. But then my dumb ass was like, I want to double check what I just saw. Cause it looked like a bio, like, I don't know if you guys had used like bright red bags for like biohazard for anything within your career.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I
Yeah.
know those
You know, it's
bags.
those fucking red bags. It says biohazard. And everybody knows that anything with bodily fluids or body parts, you stick in there, right? And I'm like, it looked like he had one of our bags, which he shouldn't have. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna double take this. So I go back and I'm like, and I took a closer look, and this fool, and at the time, like his uniform that he was given is red. He had red shirt, red bottoms. This fool had rolled his shirt into, I shit you not, like a double stuffed Chipotle burrito and had it shoved up his ass. So, dude, I shit you not. I put two and two together and realized this fool was like double stuffing his asshole, like a double stuffed Oreo every fucking day. And this is, and it, and like I connected all the dots. Like this fool always needed a new like towel because it was covered in shit. He always needed something new because it was covered in shit. And I never put two and two together, unfortunately, fortunately, but this dude had rolled it up to where you literally had to double fist this thing to shove it up your ass. And he had this shirt rolled up like a fucking double stuffed burrito up his ass. And then since then, like after that moment, I had caught him so many times where he was literally fisting his asshole or shoving shit up his ass. And he'd be like, I need more of this. I'm like, no, it's okay. You're fine. You don't need more. And oh my God, dude, like afterwards, I was so traumatized from that. I still can picture it today, and it's disgusting. I was just like, what the fuck?
there's a guy that messaged me recently that's like, hey, I want to come on the podcast and talk about the positive sides of working in a jail. Because, like, we've talked to a few jailers.
Positive sides.
There's no, and I'm like, are you sure about that? So now I'm even more inspired for him to come on
and see
what's positive. I just, the jail, pun intended, is, it's just a shitty job, dude. Like, you're in jail for 8 hours a day or 12 hours a day. You got fucking people fisting their own assholes. You got, I mean, it's just not a good situation.
I think there's a positive and negative. So, and I only speak this for my like department, is for these young kids that are coming into it that are used to, like, they're not used to like social interaction. I think the jail is a great place to learn, because a big problem, and I think anybody who's in law enforcement nowadays that's been in it for a while can agree, that this new generation of people don't know how to communicate. I can, like, there's so many times where, because, like, for us, like, we have to work the jail outside of our regular assignment, and just because it's just how staffing is. And they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to interact with these people, like anybody. And it's like, you're interacting with people who, yeah, they're the scum of the earth in the sense, but at the same time, they're people. And the biggest thing I've seen is, like, they'll be like, fuck you. Like, I'm not going back to my cell. Fuck you. I ain't doing this. Fuck you. Like, because, I mean, they're from the streets. Like, that's their thing. It's just like, fuck you. I'm not doing what you want me to do. And people don't know how to ask, like, why? Why don't you want to go back? Why is this? And it's a simple conversation, but these newer people getting into law enforcement don't know how to communicate and don't know how to have a conversation with somebody to sit there and be like, why don't you want to do this? Like, what's your problem and how can I fix it? And it could be something as simple as like, oh, like, I just need a roll of toilet, like just a bullshit example is like, I just want a roll of toilet paper. But then they're sitting there and they're like, I'm not fucking going back. And you're like, well, what's the problem? But they don't ask them that question. They just want a roll of toilet paper. And next thing you know, you're sitting there like, I need additional people because I'm going to fight this guy because they don't want to go back. And I feel like it's the biggest problem that you end up with this newer generation of law enforcement is they don't know how to have a conversation. And they don't know how to talk to somebody to be like, hey, what's your problem? How can I fix your problem? What can I do to make you comply, essentially? Like, we can avoid so many problems just by having a conversation with somebody, but they don't know how to do it.
What is the proudest moment of your career?
Career. So I've got, I would say two. One was when I was working at the jail. And I used to do booking, like releases and everything. And we'd have inmate workers. And I was in charge of like letting people out, like, you know, the cite and releases that got brought in, whatever is a deuce or whatever, some bullshit. You know, your job was to let them out, release them back into the wild to commit more crimes. And we had our inmate worker who was found unresponsive. And I would say, I don't know how long, I can't say how long he had been down. He had been down for like at least a couple minutes, but we got lucky. Somebody came across him, but they weren't on the same radio channel because there were multiple channels in their area that we were on. And, he was found unresponsive, and basically I was one of the first people on scene after that, and I did CPR. Like, this dude was 100% like dead, and I had to do CPR on the guy, and he ended up talking by the time he got into the ambulance. And basically we ended up finding out through our investigation that he thought he had found cocaine, like a baggie of cocaine on the floor. and ended up being just straight fentanyl, like to the point where you could see through our surveillance cameras. It was like a fat line of fentanyl, and he just snorted it, thinking it was cocaine because he's such a cocaine addict. And he ended up living to this day. So there was that. And then, so I would say that was one thing I was kind of like proud of, because I've done CPR on some people where they died. And it was kind of one of those like shitty moments where you're like, I tried everything I could, but then they still died. And it sucks, but you know, you can only do so much. And then my other time, I had a case without trying to dox myself, was basically found skeletal remains of somebody, at this location underneath a building. And so on our end at the coroners, like, we have to try to figure out who this person was. So we work with DOJ and we submit their bones to DOJ for DNA comparisons. We end up identifying who these remains were from. Turned out that they were homicide victim based off of some saw marks on the bones, some trauma to the skull. And I was actually, and I ended up identifying who this guy was. And I ended up locating family in a totally different state, which all I was given was a name and a date of birth and an old booking photo from, like, I'm trying to think how old the booking photo was, but it was probably like 5+ years old. And talking with family, the story matched up with how they end up in our state, because they came from somewhere else, a different state, their history and everything. And I was able to reunite the family essentially with their son and everything. So like, that was pretty satisfying, was like, we've got literally just bones and we're able to trace it back to who this person was that ended up being murdered by somebody that will probably never get solved. But I was able to get some closure to the family.
That's cool, man. That's very cool. All right. Do you have any ghost or alien encounters or anything?
You know, I don't really got anything ghost or like alien related. I've had a few death calls that we've gone to where the person's been like 500+ pounds. And the whole time you're like, how do they pronounce death? And they're just like, oh, obvious signs. So like, a big cop out for medical is they say obvious signs of death. But then when you get to somebody who's like 550 pounds, there's no way to get like, you can throw an EKG on that person and it's not going to get like a heart rhythm. They'll pronounce death in like bullshit things, and we'll go out there and the whole time, like, we're trying to like manipulate this person. Again, they're a huge person, so like, you don't really know. And the whole time you're just like, I'm expecting this person to wake up in a body bag. Like, that's my biggest fear, is you're sitting there manipulating this body and they're going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? As you're trying to roll this like 550 pound person where their roles have roles, and they're just going to look at you and be like, hey, I'm just sleeping. But I can't say I've had any like weird ghost stories or anything like that.
What is the best patrol car of all time?
Well, I've only gotten driven it, and I'm not going to try to like give away my thing is, I've again driven it a couple times, but I'd say Crown Vic, which I know you're a huge, you got a fucking boner for. You know, I know you have a boner for Crown Vics. I've only gotten driven it during like training scenarios, so I haven't had a lot of fun experience with it. I don't have the patrol experience where I could sit there and be like, oh, you know, this and that. With the options we have, I do have to say the exploders are fucking they're worse than a blown out asshole. We do have some chargers though that are all wheel drive, and I've heard they're fucking money. But otherwise, like, we get to drive trucks where I'm at. So we're driving fucking F-250s, and those things are fucking money.
Here's the super serious questions here.
Let's do it.
How do you wipe your ass? Do you sit or stand?
Well, you gotta sit, obviously. Like,
Thank
only
you.
psycho. So if you stand to wipe your ass, you've probably killed somebody.
Probably killed a
You know,
bass.
no, like, yeah. Like, nobody, like, I can't even comprehend how you would wipe your ass standing, because I feel like you're putting more strain on your butt cheeks. Like, you're pushing them together more than you should. Like, I feel like you're making a bigger mess. You know, like, yeah, I can't even comprehend that. Like, I get leaning a little bit, because, like, I'll lean to, like, a side to, like, you know, get, like, the crevice. But yeah, no, like, you can't fucking sit there and just stand up and just wipe. Like, that doesn't make sense.
All right, the moment of truth. Fucking Steve, have you ever shit your fucking pants?
I've been waiting for this question before we had this podcast planned out. I've actually shit my pants twice.
Well, tell us about it.
So the first time is before I was in law enforcement, and I was sitting there, and I was sick. Like, I had the flu up the ass. Literally. And I was bullshitting. I was living with my parents at the time, and I was sitting there, and we're like joking around with my I was joking around with my mom. I mean, this is we're going back to the whole weird mom shit. And like, I forgot what we were talking about, but I was laughing, and I trusted a fart. And I was in sweatpants. I was free balling like a motherfucker, because, you know, when you're sick, you're like, you know, bare minimum, unless I'm just weird like that. And I shit myself straight diarrhea, and I felt it run down my fucking leg. Yeah. No, it was bad. Like, it was liquid shit down my leg, stained my fucking sweats. That was horrible. Fast forward, I was in law enforcement, and I had worked a long day, and I was driving home, and for me, like, my commute's like about an hour to go home, and I'm sitting there in traffic, and I'm just like, okay, like, no big deal. And I trusted a fart, and I literally shit my fucking pants in my fucking car that was like brand new at the time. So I had to, like, frantically, like, find stuff to sit on so it wouldn't soak into the seat. And yeah, I had to try to save my fucking car, because I was like, oh my God, I just shit my pants. Like, this is bad. And I'm, like, sitting on, like, sweatshirts, like, random plastic bags in my car, trying not to, like, hoping it just didn't get into my fucking seat. Because I was like, these are cloth seats. Like, they're gonna fucking soak the shit up. Like, this is gonna be like the worst wet wipe.
Well, how'd the seats do? Did they fare okay?
You know, I still have the vehicle today, and it does not smell like I shit myself, so I think I
Or
did pretty good.
you're used to the way it smells, and it does smell like shit. How about that?
Well, so it's kind of hard, because I, you know, no
You get
pun
used to
intended.
your brand, you know?
Well, you get used to your brand, but then at the same time, I've had times where, so I don't know if people know this, and this is going back to, like, what I do, but, like, decomposing bodies, that smell soaks into your clothes.
Oh, yeah.
So I've had times where I'm driving home, and all I smell is a decomposing body, because we picked up one like 2 hours prior, and it soaks into your clothes, it sits in your nose. And the whole time you're like, is it me? Or is it like, or is it just sitting in my nose? And you don't know. So by the time, like, you get home, you're like, okay, I just want to crash out, because we work 12-hour shifts. And like you're like sitting there and you're like, okay, is it me or like, or am I just smelling things that are stuck in my nose and you just got that scent stuck up there, kind of like shitty cologne. And then next thing you know, you're like the next day, you're like, okay, does it still smell like shit or am I good? And you don't know. So it's kind of one of those moments where you're just kind of like, where am I at?
Well, folks, we've come to the conclusion of this very poorly made police podcast. Do you have any imparting words of wisdom for the millions of listeners out there?
I would say when in doubt, pull out.
That's a good plan. That is a great fucking plan.
Because, yeah, I would just say do a good job, make the most of what you got, and do good work. And if you can, sue the department if you get put in that situation to where you can sue and you send out titty pics.
Perfect. Well, kids, thanks again for tuning in. Please make sure you tell a friend and a family member. Maybe not tell your family. I don't know. Tell somebody that you think would enjoy the podcast. I basically at this point rely on you guys for the spread of this podcast because I swear to God, I say the word podcast on Facebook and Instagram and it just fucking nothing happens. So this podcast lives through you guys. So I appreciate you guys telling people about it and spreading the shitty word. With that said, remember, you kind of stole my thunder because that's where I was going with the if you fucking sleep with everybody on your department, be the victim and sue the department. And I love most
Oh,
of
you
you.
got it.
Bye-bye.